You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Monday. We are 1 week away from Media Day, which means we are about to get close to Pacers topics that are not just looking back at last season and hypothetical summer stuff. But we have fun stuff today, which is always good. As always, I'm one of the hosts of Locked On Pacers, Tony East. And with me on the line to discuss a bunch of fun stuff that we'll reveal in 1 second is Adam Friedman. Adam, how are you?
Pretty good. So you probably missed this, but on a lockdown or a low post podcast this week, Zach Lowe previewed that he's on like six interesting things to watch. He's going to be previewing the Turner Sabonis thing. He talked about guys. So something to look forward to. I think that it would post in a couple weeks, but something to look forward to, I think, for Pacers.
Wow, that'll be awesome. Was that the one with Howard Beck, right?
No, it wasn't. Who was he talking to?
Ian Thompson?
No, he was talking. Maybe it was Ian Thompson he was talking to. I forget who he was talking. It might have been. Who was the most recent podcast with? It wasn't with Howard Beck, right?
I don't remember. Never mind. Irrelevant.
Irrelevant, but he previewed that. So it was. No, he was talking to JJ Redick. It was JJ Redick. That's him. That one posted this week. I thought that was an interesting thing to note because he spoke to both players and he was talking about the players. Talking about their hips is always the big theme. So I'm interested to see what he has to say and see what both players have to say because that kind of could shape what they do this year. And clearly they're working on trying to make those guys work together.
Yep.
I'm excited, personally.
That'll be good. That will be awesome. We talked about last Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday. I can't remember my days anymore.
Yes, Wednesday.
Yes, the SI Top 100 list, which had three of the Pacers' bigs in the top 70, all in the 70s. We guessed where Vic would be, and we guessed 18, and we were close. He finished with 20, although I think that they gave him, they pretty much said in their description of him, he's better than this ranking, but we don't know if he's as good as he was last year, which is stupid. By the way.
Well, yeah, it's kind of the same thing they did with Kawhi where they baked in some room for error in terms of like criticism, I don't know how to put it, right? So like they put Kawhi at 12 because they didn't want to be wrong if he ended up having a bad year. But then if he was number two, they'd say, well, we just put him 12 because we weren't sure. So it's the same thing with Vic. We put him at 20 because we aren't sure. He probably, I think, should be probably 16 on this list. You could talk me into Kyrie being ahead of him at 16, but he should be 16 or 17 on this list. So it's kind of that baked in of like, well, if we're wrong, we look good because we had him just lower than he should be. But if we're right, then we're hit it on spot and we don't get criticized.
Exactly. So they have him 20th. They talk about how good he was last year, all his awards, just what he learned from Russ is there a little bit. But the last paragraph says, this ranking reflects a degree of skepticism that Oladipo's sensational season, where he ranked 6th in real plus minus, 11th in WARP, and 19th in PER, is his new normal. However, his explosiveness, buy-in, and two-way impact should keep him in the All-Star conversation, even if he sustains natural regression or falters a bit under enhanced expectations. So I will say this. I think he could be not as good. Like, that certainly is there, but I wouldn't call that a natural regression. Like, he clearly improved. You know, you can say that a natural regression is coming.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how a player who's 27 years old naturally regresses.
Yeah,
26 years are going to be 27 next season. Like I don't know how that happens because he's literally hitting the prime of his career, and it seems like barring some like I just don't think this could be. You could maybe talk into being a fluke, but I just don't see with the style he played how it could have been a fluke. It wasn't like he shot some weird percentage or played some weird way. He basically played a style of play that as long as he doesn't get slower, which doesn't happen to a guy in his mid-20s, he's going to be the same player.
I agree 100%. I think it's, you know, I think that the point is fine. You know, there is a way that he's not as good as last year, but saying it's because of a regression, I think, is silly.
Well, and
a natural
big factor is, right, well, defense is prepared for him better, but in the regular season in the NBA, the defensive schemes are totally different than they are in the postseason in some way because you aren't as kind of back and forth switching. It's like you get a new opponent every night. You barely have time to practice half the time. Like you get to play more of your game. Now I could see in the postseason they could say that, but he probably struggled in the postseason. He's kind of, I'd say he played three of the seven games well in the postseason. That's why they won three of them. Maybe he played four of that game seven. He played pretty well, I thought, the second half. So, I mean, that's where he has to improve, in my opinion, but I'm not sure how it changes his regular season because I don't think he's going to be seeing some all of a sudden new stuff on the offensive end from the defenses because they're not going to have the ability to adjust game to game. You might see it occasionally from a really good defensive team like Boston, who definitely couldn't handle him last year at all. They might adjust in a way that might make sense, but I doubt you're going to see him in every team. He's going to tear apart the bad teams because he's that kind of player and he's that kind of speed.
Yes, I agree with all that. And I think another thing that people were really interested in was his ranking amongst other shooting guards. Wherever you count Harden, whatever. I don't want to go.
Well, just do all guards because I think.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
Right. I mean, like,
Harden are 3-4. Like, they were obviously going to be the two best guards no matter what. And then Russell Westbrook, obviously going to be in the top 10 with Chris Paul. They're both 7-8. And then Jimmy Butler, what do you want to call him, a winger or guard?
I call him more a small forward. I'd say he plays. I mean, he's more traditional small forward.
Still those four. And then the only other guard, Dame.
Dame and Kyrie.
And Kyrie at 17. So he's the seventh guard after making All-NBA ahead of which one of those guys?
Kyrie, because Kyrie got hurt.
This guy got hurt.
So. But also, he had a better year than Kyrie on stats. I mean, they were similar stat numbers, and he played 75 games. That was the difference.
Oh, yeah, he was better last year. That's 100% true. But I was bringing up the shooting guard thing because people were, like, all up in arms about DeRozan all the time. Klay Thompson was at 22, so they clearly think he's better than Klay. Bradley Beal, who rarely do people think Beal's better, but still, is at 27. And DeRozan, I can't even find because I have to scroll so much, at 30 is DeMar DeRozan. So, you know, all that tier of guys that people love to rank so much, SI had him ahead of all of them.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to call him a guard and just a shooting guard because this between the point guard position and the shooting guard position now is because all the point guards now are good shooters, basically. I mean, the top six are all guys who you would rely on for a game-winning shot, and it's just a straight passing guard. So he kind of fits in that category because he plays point guard too. I guess in terms of this list, you hit kind of Kyrie. I think
– he's the one to focus on.
Well, I think it's disrespectful to put him below Towns and Jokic. I mean,
I agree.
I guess you're projecting them as they improve, right? I guess that's the idea is Towns will be better because it's year four. It's year four. Jokic is year four as well, or five. Five, right?
It's four for both. It's four for both.
Four for both. So that's the projecting. So that's why they're going to get better. But, I mean, he was better than both of those players last year. I mean, he was the star player on a team that won 48 games, whether that was a team in the East or not. I mean, Towns plays with Jimmy Butler, number 12 on this list. Jokic didn't get his team to the playoffs, but he was a pretty solid player. But he didn't lead his team the way Oladipo did. And those two guys for sure can disrespect. Then the Boston guys, I just think he should be ahead of them because I think when they played Boston, he seemed like a more impactful, like the best player on the court when he played those games. But Kyrie, you're picking hairs because Kyrie, when he's healthy, is maybe higher on this list. And Horford is the all awesome impact player, but I don't know. I think he should be ahead of both those guys.
Yeah, and Horford has the age thing. You know, I am a huge Horford guy. Me and you have talked about this all week. So I'm fine with where Horford is, but you know, Horford's what, 34 this coming year? That could be 33. He's 32 right now. So he turned 33 at the end of the next season.
I remember his freshman year at Florida. I'm like, I'm not that old. I'm not even that old.
Joe Kim Noah's on the team, right?
Brewer.
Oh my gosh. Beal
was four first time
after that. Beal was after that.
No, Beal was way after that. Beal was like,
what was that team? Five?
Yeah, the three main guys I thought were Noah Horford and Corey Brewer. Those guys went
The Billy Donovan led Florida Gators. That is crazy.
That team was really nasty in the college. They beat another stacked Greg Godin and Mike Conley team in the finals, and that's how good they were.
I love when we go off the rails and talk about.
Well, I didn't think Horford was that old. I'm like, I remember him when he was like actually in college, like that. So
I'm a year behind. Crap.
Well, I guess you would think Horford have a drop. I mean, a guy in his early 30s, there is a drop off at some point.
Given that he's only 32, I apologize.
But I just think in terms of overall impact, I guess on a single team, Horford has less of an overall impact in terms of like game to game. Like Horford, we did this last week. We don't need to do it again. Horford's a player who takes you from 45 wins to 55 wins, but doesn't get you to 45 wins. Where Oladipo gets you to 45 wins is kind of my opinion. The way I look at it.
It's interesting. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like Horford was awesome he was the best player on that Hawks team that won 60 whatever.
Yeah, but he was on that team with so many other good players. That's the only reason I put it that way. Like he's the kind of perfect player who's the perfect number two player in a situation. Perfect. I mean, he is the top level number two player because Kyrie's one and maybe Harrell will be one next year or whatever. Tatum will be one depending on what happens. But that's where he's perfect. Where Oladipo, we clearly saw, can be the number one guy on a team. I legitimately think he can be a number one guy on a championship contending team. Like, I believe that the way he played last year, he thinks that in the way he plays. And Kyrie's the same way. So that's why you're kind of picking hairs with Kyrie, because Kyrie has shown it, proved in the playoffs where Oladipo hasn't. That's the difference, really.
I think all those things could be true, but again, these are also projecting for one season. So I think next year, you know, I think I like Horford ahead of him still, because even if he does drop, I think he'll be better. Like, he's just that good. And then Kyrie, you know, if he is hurt, then it seems weird that they hedge injuries on some guys and not Kyrie, by the way. But you know, if he is hurt, then yeah,
it's a hedge, right? Because I mean, Kyrie, if you did this year before, was probably ahead of Lillard,
right? Yeah, you're right.
He's probably in the top 10. I mean,
you're right.
Maybe he probably jumps right ahead of Butler. I mean, Kyrie in that playoff with the Cavs the year they lost to five to the Warriors was amazing. I mean, Kyrie was awesome that year.
And he was hurt. Oh, I'm sorry.
Not in 2017. In the finals that year, he was awesome. That's a tough time. Right. I mean, that's
so good. He's like the only player the Warriors respect as a threat too, which I think is telling.
Well, because he's the one player who can give Steph, or they can't hide Steph on him, and then he give him fits in defensive end too. Like, he just, I don't know. When Kyrie at his best is, it kind of reminds me of like kind of a Chris Paul little impact point guard. Like, just keep him awesome. Like, he's just almost unstoppable.
So I think our thesis is here, if we can jump ahead a bit. I think we, you know, on a good or bad day, you know, he's right there with those two Celtics guys probably for me in rankings. But I definitely think he should be ahead of Jokic and Towns. You know, Towns, hyper-efficient, amazing offensive player. He can drive one-on-one. He can post you up. He can shoot the three. But he's so bad on D. I mean, he's okay when he's engaged, but he's not often. And Tibbs does that strong side defense crap that's just not good for A, the modern NBA, or B, the roster he has. So I just think it's ridiculous that Towns is ahead of him. Until he learns to defend the paint, there's just no reason for that. And same with Jokic, except Jokic, even when he's engaged, isn't great. He's actually an overratedly bad defender. Like, he's just regular bad, but he's still bad even when he's trying.
Yeah.
You know, he's a really good offensive player, no doubt. Like, triple-double machine. Totally turns their offense to like top five in the league, the second steps on the court, but he's just so bad on D that I don't know how you can put him ahead of a first team all defense guy who also made all NBA.
Yeah, it's weird on this list. So like, the cutoff for like respect and defense is about, I guess, Horford's kind of the cutoff, where like Horford's a good defender and that's why he's on this list. Draymond is up there and Gobert up there because of their defense, right? But then when you get down, like, it's like Thompson should be a much higher player, right? Really, this list should have Thompson at 18, Oladipo at 19, whatever. That's what it may be, because Thompson is an awesome defender and he is one of the best offensive players in the league in terms of 3-point shooting. So it's kind of weird they like kind of stop respecting defense at some point in this list and they start betting it again towards the top.
And LaMarcus Aldridge just sneaks his way into this group.
Yeah, when he's right in between them, basically at 21.
He was quietly very good last year, so I have no problem with that. But it's just, I understand like your arguments about the Celtics guys. None of them are wrong, and it all, you know, it's all dependent on, you know, the day, the health, etc. And I'm a big Horford guy, so it's hard for me to budge on that. But, you know, with the other two, like I said, I just don't see how you can put them behind either of those guys.
I guess probably the problem with Molina's list is they thought, well, Tubbs are going to win 65 games. You can't have one of their guys in the top 20. Like, you have to have, you know what I mean? If you're going to win 60-plus games, which I think they will, if barring injury concerns, you got to have at least – I mean, I guess they got three guys in the – what is Hayward ranked
25? Four in the top 50 or five in the top 50, maybe.
Right? What is Hayward ranked 25? So three in the top 25. That's what you probably need. But it just seems weird that a team is going to win like 60 games is not going to have a guy in the top 10 even, really.
Yeah.
But that's because the West is stacked, right? I mean – most of the guys are in the right. Like, besides Kawhi, I think everybody in the top 12 is in the West. No, Embiid. Sorry,
Embiid is the best East player.
And Giannis. I keep it Giannis. So the three of the top 12 are in the East.
Yeah, Giannis is ranked. You know, I really like their top 10 actually, but you know, it's wild that that's how they had to do it. Like, Tatum got 39 and Hayward got 25, and they still, you know, maybe that they did weigh that in. That's pretty interesting to think about.
Yeah. So, where do you think Oladipo could be next year in the list? I mean,
So who would – let's – like, who ahead of him would drop? Maybe Chris Paul?
So hold on. I've got a thought here. So I would say the top six is locked for the next
year. I agree. Totally agree. And Embiid locked up there too.
That's fine. You can see that. So I was thinking that he could jump basically ahead of Westbrook, maybe. I mean, probably not. But
like peak jump. Okay.
Yeah, peak jump could be to that spot.
Yeah, that area. I'm with you there. I don't know how – well, I guess Westbrook's knee could be like a disaster, but I don't see how he jumps ahead.
Westbrook's going to get another little – I mean, he might – if Westbrook starts to defer actually and let PG control some, that could kind of – like the Horford, Kyrie thing kind of devalue both of them a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, they're better together, but devalue their actual overall ranking, I guess.
I think it'll be hard for him to get to that tier, but it's certainly possible.
I mean, I think he could get into the tier. I mean,
given what they said about him not doing this again, I think if he does it again, they put him like in that PG tier, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Chris Paul could drop out of this. I mean, just age wise, yeah. Right? So that he could, I think he could pass everybody from Draymond down. So he could be 13 if really things go great. I guess Kawhi doesn't have a good year because he's hurt, whatever. PG has a struggle. Jimmy Butler's in the top 10, right? All of a sudden. I mean, I think, I don't know. I guess it depends what kind of year the Pacers have and stuff like that. But I mean, I think at the very best, he could be top 10. It's kind of a murderer's row of top 10 players. Like, I don't know how he cracks that. They're all pretty much, besides Chris Paul, they're all pretty much in their prime. And the two guys outside the top 10 are also in their prime.
It's going to be crazy when the league transforms like all at once. You know, I feel like all those guys besides Embiid are like the same age.
Giannis, you really got to beat Giannis. You're going to have a couple years where Davis just starts being the most dominant player. But like the generation, but like basically the Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook are all the same age. Then you throw in Butler, about the same age, I think, too. So is PG. And you got this whole tier of guys who are like 28 to 31 right now. We're all kind of the same tier. And they eventually 3 years from now won't be there. It's going to be interesting to see kind of fills their gaps. Like, that's why it's so hard for Turner to make the top 25, because there's really not a ton of space. Even if, you know, he has an awesome year, there's just so many good players.
It's going to be I think him and Sabonis could both jump, but that'll be interesting to watch. But yeah,
like top 25 is hard. It's like, it's really
so hard. I mean, who's the most likely guy to drop out of this top 25, do you think?
Aldridge,
I would be with you there. Hang on.
Aldridge or Lowry?
One more time, but yeah, Aldridge, I think, makes the most sense.
Lowry would be number two for me, and then Horford, someone that's kind of age is really kind of where I'm looking at the older guys.
I don't know if age will hit Aldridge's game that hard. It will hit Lowry's.
But isn't Aldridge like almost 35?
Man, I guessed wrong on Horford's age, but I don't feel like LaMarcus is that old.
I feel like he's pretty old. Let's see if I can get this.
33, he's 34 in the summer.
Okay, so he's not that old, I guess, right? I'm a little closer than you were on the age. Well, about the same, I guess.
You were the same. But yeah, we keep talking and rambling. I think to get to an 8 point, I think his ranking is fine, but it should be a little higher. And when he proves it by having another year this good, because I think that is their only ridiculous point in this whole thing, I think it'll be closer to, like what we're saying, like the 15 to 12 range.
And I think it's a good thing. It's a continuing disrespect of him, and that will help them motivate him, right? That's a good thing for a player disrespected. Usually it's a good motivation factor. I mean, I think Lillard not making the All-Star game for like 3 or 4 straight years when he should have motivated him to keep being great. It's a good motivating factor for Vic, and we'll see how he does.
Tyreek next to be motivated since he didn't make it, but we talked about that already.
Yeah, I think Tyreek's at a point where he just wants to like not have an injured year. I think that's his goal next season.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be great. Pacers trainers are really good. That would be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are levels, right, on those kind of guys who, like, fix at the stage where he wants to be the best, where Tyreek's at the stage where he just wants to, like, have a really solid year and get a good contract kind of thing.
Yeah, his next season might be his last long one. It'll be 30, so.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick pause here, and then we're going to talk about some fun, the actual basketball that is happening in the world right now. International hoops, we got 3 Pacers playing that we want to talk about. So and join us after this break for that. Okay, guys, for this ad break, me and Adam actually want to talk to you during this ad break for once. We want to talk to you specifically about Vivid Seats, who is a great ticket company that will sell you your tickets to whatever event you're going to go to. Adam, what do you like about Vivid Seats?
Well, so you can get an offer of on $200 or more, you can save $20. Get $20 off on $200 or more. As we know, preseason's coming around. Opening night is, 6 weeks away? No, 32 days away. I'm thinking September 1st or 32 days away. 31. Well, yeah, because we're recording on a Sunday. So 31 days away, you can buy tickets to that game. There's a game that weekend, I believe. There's games all season long. You can buy tickets to that. Whether you want to go to Colts games, I don't know, we interact with that. Or we go to a concert or whatever it is. If you buy $200 worth of tickets, so you take the family out, you know, you and your wife and your kids or whatever it is, you get $20 off. It's a pretty good deal, especially if you're buying a lot of tickets. It's a great deal for that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I couldn't actually make it up, obviously, to see my Vikings yesterday. I was checking Vivid Seats around for how it worked. It was really great. You can sort by location. You can sort by price. It's really great. It's very user-friendly. And you can get it on the App Store. You can get it on Google Play. You can get it on your Android. It's really awesome. But like Adam said, also, there's 100% guarantee that tickets will work. But also, like Adam said, the best part is you can receive $20 off any order of $200 or more if you use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to save your money on Vivid Seats.
I think I'll probably use it to go to a Colts game maybe at some point this year. Those tickets are costly, so definitely be good to use.
But they could be less costly if you get 10% off using our code Locked On.
That's code Locked On.
So Vivid Seats, go check it out, guys. And back to the show. Okay, Adam. Let me you have to gauge this on the talent of the players. Witt is the most impressive performance of the three. Corey Joseph had 16 points and 10 assists for Canada. Bojan Bogdanovic led Croatia in scoring, or Ben Moore nearly having a double-double. Which one is the most impressive?
Probably Corey Joseph, right, in terms of just...
That was my choice, too. Dang it, I like when we have opposite answers.
Well, because didn't Bogdan struggle to start the game when he played with Croatia?
He started 1-for-9 from the field, yes, and then completely went off in the second half. Also notable for Bojan, he broke Croatia's all-time scoring record, so that's pretty cool.
I guess the competition too, right? So Croatia played Lithuania, who is, I mean, at this point, also it's hard to gauge because not everybody's playing. McSpones didn't play. Right. Right? Kristoff is Latvian. I'm going to mix that up. And so they played Brazil. I don't know how good the competition in Brazil.
Brazil is the best team that anyone played. That's why Kojo's is so impressive too.
Okay. I mean, I guess because Uruguay is not very good either.
Uruguay is the worst team anyone played.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you would think Lithuania probably has the most NBA players in terms of the three teams they played, right?
No, Brazil. Probably.
How many questions does Brazil have?
I'd have to look at their roster, but I was talking about it with Ben when we were looking at what to write, and I think that Brazil had a couple.
Oh, really?
Lithuania normally has three. They have Valančiūnas, Sabonis, and Mindaugas Kuzminskis, but Valančiūnas and Sabonis both didn't play, so it was just Kuzminskis.
Okay, so that's what I thought in terms they have the most NBA players.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to
the box score for Canada, ages. Brazil, blah blah blah. Why is the FIBA site so complicated?
I don't know. They need to hire somebody from the NBA.com to make it.
I know it's so confusing to like navigate. It took me a million years to find their thing. Brazil had Marcelo Huertas. Remember him? And Leandro Barbosa.
Yeah, I remember Barbosa. Yes, I remember Barbosa.
Leandro Barbosa is their other one. So just those two, actually. Oh, and Anderson Varejão.
Okay, that's. Those are two NBA guys that I think of were actually good NBA players.
Yes. But Canada had the most by far. Their team is stacked.
Well, Canada's actually a pretty decent team.
And they have a bunch of good young guys. But in this game alone, they had Ken Burch, who played with Magic last year, Tristan Thompson, you all know about him, Kelly Olynyk, Corey Joseph, Justin Jackson on the Kings, Bradley Heslip had a 2A last year. I mean, they're stacked.
And could Wiggins play for them in the 2020?
Yeah, they'll have like RJ Barrett, Wiggins, like, they'll be good next time.
They could be a foe for the U.S. if Wiggins turned into a good player.
Yeah, and they'll have Kojo forever because he's a staple. And he played really well in this game, which is our overarching point. Did he lead them in minutes? No. He got outplayed by 24 seconds, dang it, by Kelly Olynyk. But, yeah, he shot really well, 50% from the field. He had 10 assists, which is insane. I mean, I watched some of his highlights. He looked really solid, dribbling up and down the court.
Looked like the point guard that could be a starting point guard for
it. I was going to say, you know what? Dang it, Adam. You got to steal my thunder. He looked like someone who could, like, handle the ball in an okay amount of minutes. So.
Yeah, maybe he could be the future starting point guard of the Pacers or the gap one between Collison and Holiday someday.
Yes, that would be huge. It will not happen, but that would be awesome.
What? Joseph could be the starting point guard next season. 100%.
Next season?
Corey Joseph? 100% could be the starting point guard for the Pacers.
Are we talking about the same next season? Like 2018?
No. 2019-20. Sorry.
I see. Yes.
I'm a year ahead of you.
Like, dang, dude, what are you talking about?
No. 2019-20 when Collins is kind of okay. Up and he maybe gets blown away by some offer.
I am on board with that. I could not believe you there for a second.
No, I mean, he could overtake Collison at some point. Collison could get hurt or whatever, but I doubt he will. But who knows? Joseph's a good defender, so that's a huge plus for him always.
Yes. So I think I can't tell if this is a forfeit or not, but I'm looking at the results of games today and Brazil beat the Virgin Islands. It says 20-0.
Yeah, that's probably a forfeit.
That has to be a forfeit, right?
Yeah. Who would play for the Virgin Islands? Who's on the?
Good point. I'm trying to find the box score of USA Uruguay, but apparently you have to go through platform 9 3/4 to find box scores on the FIBA website.
Well, they crushed whoever they played. They doubled their score basically.
114-57. They did double their score on the nose. But yeah, you know, the way the USA does these games is they give all these, you know, fringe NBA guys like USA playing time, which is really cool. Bryce Alford, who played for their summer league team, suited up, and Ben Moore suited up, and Alford played more than Moore. That's hard to say. Actually, Moore played the second least of anyone who actually got minutes. He only played 14 minutes and 20 seconds, but he went 2 of 2 from the field. He had 9 points. He had 8 rebounds and was a plus 26 in 14 minutes. So he was pretty insane.
Can Can I say one more thing about Croatia real quick?
Croatia? We haven't talked about them yet.
Oh, we haven't. Yeah, but we'll get to them. I have something. I thought we guess we're going to every game. In terms of the FIBA basketball though with USA, they do. You're talking about giving players a chance, and they did that with Eric Gordon a few years ago too. That's the last. That's kind of when I started recognizing. Mm-hmm. Started to give kind of those mid-level guys. Now Ben Moore is probably even more towards the lower end of guys giving a chance, right? I mean,
yeah. No, there's a ton of G League guys on this team.
Okay, so they maybe even decided to even go less. Like they were used to be these like rookies or like kind of up and coming guys who are trying to make a name themselves. Now it's like seems like
that's when Miles Turner less. Played for them, right? When he was in coming out of Texas.
Did he? I think he might have. I thought he was invited to the camp. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, maybe that. Well, that right now he's invited to camp, but.
Well, no, because that was the 2016 year. So I think that,
you know, you're right.
Depends when you come out. If you come out during Olympic year, you don't get any chance because they're going with the best guys, kind of thing.
Yeah. But again, big takeaway from those two games before you get to Bojan and your take. Cool to see Ben Moore, A, even on the team, and B, you know, being, you know, why I touted him so much in the G League because of his high efficiency and high motor. And look at that. He's 9 points and 8 rebounds and doesn't miss a shot. It's exactly that. And Kojo being a lead ball handler is exactly what you want from him.
Do we get right up talking about Ben Moore and his contract on this podcast?
I don't know if we ever talked about that. Ben Moore got signed 2 weeks ago to a 1-year partially guaranteed deal.
Right. So when is his? Do you know his date when he gets supposed to be picked up by?
I believe the intention is for him to play for the Pacers this year.
So it'll be like a mid-season pickup kind of thing where they can cut him in.
Not Exhibit 10. So yeah, I feel like it's like the Damian Wilkins thing.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. So. We'll get to see him this year. I think we'll get an opportunity to kind of prove himself. I assume, I guess.
You know what I'm saying? This I have to like think about this, but I think he's there. Like, if they are winning by whatever, and there's a minute to go, I think it's like Sumner, Holiday, Ben Moore, Alize, and TJ Leaf is like their closing lineup. He'll be that's probably all he'll play until someone gets hurt.
So my thought for him is that he's the wing defender that if Bojan all of a sudden stinks on defense and Doug Merritt will stuck on defense, that they have like some guy they can maybe put in guard. Another team's really good.
That'd
wing.
Be awesome.
Maybe like almost in a GR3 role, maybe surprises you at some point or some way, because I'm writing this now, but like in terms of forwards, they just really have three forwards and then Sabonis who's going to play forward probably. And they have like Thad Young is the only competent wing defender they really have. I mean,
yes, he
Bojan's average.
Tyreek's good.
Yeah, Tyreek. Yes. But like in terms of guys who should actually be playing for, Tyreek's a little undersized. That's the issue there.
Right. You're right.
It's like, so he could be that guy. I mean, I was thinking that they might go out for somebody like that or they might make a move, but he could be the guy that said, okay, we really need somebody to. I think they wanted Porter to be that last year a little bit to like, you're playing a team like, I don't know, I'm thinking like the Bucks who've got Middleton and Giannis. I guess they'll play some 3-4, 2-3. You need a really tall guy to guard Middleton and kind of piece the guy throughout there.
I hope that would be great. I mean, I think they'd keep him around past the deadline if he was that too.
Yeah, I don't know if he will be that, but I think that's maybe the hope. Let's put it that way.
Oh, that would be insanely cool. And I like my affinity for Ben Moore is no secret, so I'm hopeful that you are correct about that. But yeah, he's playing for Team USA. That's the cool thing. They have another game later in the week. We'll keep all that going on.
Yeah, we'll keep it updated. It's about the only basketball we got out there. We're starting with basketball.
I know. I wanted to watch that USA game, but I went out that night. It was on a Friday night.
Can't you watch most of the highlights on Twitter or online?
They post them for like all the players too. Like there was a pretty cool Corey Joseph video. I found a few of them to tweet out. I'll probably look for some Bojan ones later. Speaking of Bojan, let's get to that Croatia game. They lost by 183-84. But Bojan led the team with 22 points and 4 of 9 from three. Typical Bojan. Is this the most Bojan stat line of all time? 22 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, 4 of 9 from 3.
6 of 17 in the field. Yeah, that's Bojan.
Hits all his free throws.
That's the classic Bojan. I wanted to say, though, with Bojan, in terms of the picture you used on 8.2 seconds.
Oh, it's so old.
Okay. I would say, in terms of that, you forget how bad his hair has gotten. That's what I was going to say. Not to be mean or anything, but you're just like, I remember last year, Bojan is like 29 years old now, I think, and he looks like he's 35.
So I think because the Canadian team is like in North America and the USA team is too, Getty Image people are like all over it. But when I looked for Bojan in Croatia jerseys, like the most recent one was like 2014.
So that's what I thought. I'm looking at the photo. I'm like, this is too young of a guy. Like, but man, his hair has gotten so much worse. Like he's
so much bald,
but it's fine. I love the 35 year old look of the 28 guy. He's a great. He's just funny because he
looks like a dad.
Yeah, he has his dad look to him. And he's always kind of like, I feel like he's asking questions a lot because he doesn't like, a language person, but not a perfect English or whatever. So he's like kind of like always communicating through somebody or with some and like a kind of a kind of confused sometimes. Always it's, Bullion's kind of a, you just watch Bullion when you're at a game too. It's just kind of funny because he kind of has like this look. Like he always has those looks where it's like, I didn't foul the guy, or shrugs his shoulders. Like definitely a very dad's game almost.
He played good in this game. 22 points is a lot.
Yeah, but you know, 6 of 17.
He started one for nine, though. I think finishing five of your last eight is pretty good.
Right? Yeah, but the classic Bullion is going 6 of 17. I mean, he'll take 18 shots a game and make a third of them. But yeah, the Pacers will still find a way to win those games. They'll still win if he goes 6 of. You know, I remember their games where he would be terrible. They'd win. Then he
would they ever like lose when he was 10 of 17? Like, ever.
Yeah, there was a Wizard game I thought he played really well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that, actually.
With like almost 30 points, and then they lost.
Oh, that was the game Vic didn't play, and he just went off. I remember that.
Yeah, he had a great game, and they just couldn't close it out. Couldn't play defense, really. They couldn't play D.
Yeah, I don't think he played much D in this game either. I want to watch highlights of that eventually and try to get some clips up. But he also had he had 4 turnovers, so yeah, not great there. But they all play again this week, so we'll keep him with that.
Yeah, he's just working himself into the season. Doesn't really matter what he does, as long as he keeps kind of playing and helps get him in shape for the year.
Hey, Adam, you know what would really help the Pacers?
Another small forward?
Another really good small forward named Jimmy Butler. Let's talk about Jimmy Butler after another break. Okay, I don't have the exact language of the Jimmy Butler report in front of me, but John Krasinski and Shams Charania of The Athletic were all over it yesterday. Out of Minnesota, saying Jimmy Butler and the Minnesota Timberwolves ownership, leadership, whatever you want to call it, is meeting
they're
today.
Calling it a frank conversation about Jimmy Butler's future. They're calling it.
Yes. Yes. A conversation about Jimmy Butler's future with the organization in Minnesota. So when you're listening, you know, we could have heard more about that. It'll be Monday by now when this is out. And I don't know what this conversation will be about because, you know, his contract's expiring. There's certainly beef with him and some other players on the team. So,
and Dib, I don't think he likes Dibs that much, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either. So there's a chance that some other stuff happens and then this is silly. But, you know, I think a likely outcome is potential shakeups at the trade deadline. And acquiring Jimmy Butler has been a Pacers fan dream. And I think signing him is going to be hard, but trading for him could not be that hard.
Yeah. So my thought with this is, what if he goes in there and says, I'm not returning next year? Do what you want with that information, or it's probably somebody who demands something else, like Wiggins be traded or whatever.
I think that's what he'll say.
so do I. But if he says that, now all of a sudden he's on the market. I mean, weirder things have happened in the NBA. Kyrie demanded a trade like after free agency midsummer one time. So I mean, it could happen. And if he does that, that would put him on the market. And I was thinking, what would the Pacers today, like if you knew, like it was kind of in a PG situation, right? It'd be kind of like Kawhi PG, where you know it's a free agent, so you don't overpay, but you can make kind of an interesting offer to get him. You know, if they gave up Sabonis and somebody in a pick, would that be enough? Or, you know, because I know Towns kind of it's overlapping positions, but would that be enough? Or I don't know what the deal would be, but I think it could be interesting because if he ends up becoming on the market all of a sudden, there'll be kind of this probably this mid sweepstakes, but then kind of a stop when everybody buy with the market and who goes after him and do the Lakers make a move or whatever it is.
Yeah, you know, I think the Timberwolves are obviously would be looking at Aaron Holiday, Sabonis. You know, all the young guys. And, you know, Jimmy Butler's first trade ended up being Markkanen, Dunn, and LaVine, which is a lot of value. But if he's expiring and for sure leaving, you got to cut that in half, basically. So I think to get the salary, you'd probably have to get someone like Bojan or something in there, but who knows what that would be.
Oh, right. No, they don't have the cap space. They got to match salaries now. They don't have any cap space. So Jimmy Butler makes, what, 20-something a year because he's on that one of the old max deals?
He got a 5-4-95, I believe. So not much at all.
So Sabonis makes about 5, right?
Sabonis makes about 5, yeah. Jimmy Butler will make 18.6 mil and a player option in 2019-20 that he might opt into. He's not.
No, he won't because he'll get so much more as a free agent. I mean, he'll get $30 million.
It's only $19 million.
Yeah, yeah, 30 plus million or something like that. So, I mean, like, I guess the match salaries, you would probably have to put, like, you're right, Bojan or DC in this trade. But, like, if you did a trade of Bojan, Sabonis, and Aaron Holiday for him, would you take that without any picks?
What was it?
That today?
Say it again.
Sabonis, Aaron Holiday, and Bojan. So, you're placing your small forward, right? You know, that's why you get rid of Sabonis.
Oh, yeah, I did it.
Bonus. You lost one rotation player, and you lost a rookie.
I would do that, 100%.
See, I don't know if the Pacers do that. I think they really like Sabonis and are training him and put a lot of effort in him. I don't know if they want
to
do that.
If the team's healthy and you think you have a shot at like literally going to the finals, I think you do that.
Yeah, but with no Butler commitment long term?
Well, you're not going to get it ever. So,
with no, like, even, hey, show me something and I'll stay, wink, wink, like PG.
I don't think that would happen anywhere but like the top teams. I would do that in 1 second. I think he immediately makes the Pacers the best team in the East.
So then would another team top that offer though? Like would the Lakers come in and offer like a Kuzma or something deal? Or
no, they'll just sign him in a couple months. I know that we say that a million times, but like
you can't sign everybody. You can't do that to everybody. I mean, they have two max cap space for him, or just one, right?
They can get to two pretty easily, but they will only have one as it stands.
Yeah, but they get to another one.
Oh, easily. Well,
the Lakers move would be taking a bunch of their picks too. Like,
right.
Like 4 years down the road, taking their picks, like the 2022 pick or 2024 pick, because they might be bad in 4 years once LeBron leaves, because, you know, LeBron's 34 years old, so, or 33 years old, who knows what could happen.
Right. And maybe TJ Leaf has some trade value.
I think he'd be a throw in. It'd be kind of like, oh, we want your other rookie because we want to see what he can do.
The other thought is, and I don't necessarily condone this, but it's there. You know, if they throw in Gorgui Jang to try to dump his salary using Jimmy Butler, I mean, it'd be hard as heck for the Pacers to get up that kind of money. But if it lowers the value of assets you have to send out, maybe that's worth it. I mean, Thad would probably definitely have to go into the trade if Gorgui Jang's coming back, but something like that could be on the table.
Or do we think they might he might say trade Andrew Wiggins? Do the Pacers even discuss trading for Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah, I think the most likely thing is they try to appease Jimmy because, you know, the organization clearly loved that they made the playoffs and loved that they could. All that stuff. I think they're gonna try to do that more, and they're definitely not trading Towns. Like that'd be like trading Khalil Mack. That was supposed to be funny, but I don't think it was.
Yeah, oh, I got it. I got the joke. But our fans were not consuming it about just football,
apparently. I don't know. Yeah, fans. For you football people, I thought that was actually a pretty good analogy there. But anyway, I don't think they'll trade Towns. I think another option is they're just like, all right, I know you hate this Wiggins guy. We'll dump him off. I do not think the Pacers would do that. I don't think they've spent this long trying to maintain this future flexibility just to give it up for Andrew Wiggins, who is pretty unproven, A. And I like Andrew Wiggins more than most people. I think he's thought of appropriately. I just like what he offers more. But
he's overpaid, definitely, though. He's
definitely overpaid, which is why the long-term money thing is problematic. So, I mean, maybe if you get, like, the right return, you go for it. But that's a lot of money for a guy who, you know, is it just okay on D, who's more potential than player. You know, he's good. He's a good player. I think he helps, but you'd have to have the right trade for that to make a lot of sense. And I don't think they would pursue that.
Well, plus how can you get rid of $25 million without getting rid of a rookie or young?
Yeah.
Right. You would give him like, I mean, the only way to do it would be, I guess it would be Bojan and Thad, because that's giving away too much. It feels like.
I agree. Yeah. Unless they throw in some asset too.
So. Well, you need some kind of power forward back for sure.
I don't know what that would look like. It'd be a hard trade to formulate too, which makes it even less likely.
Yeah. I mean, if Towns on the market, that's a whole different thing. They should trade for Towns tomorrow.
If Towns on the market, they can have any non-Vic thing. Like anything.
They can have
anything.
Turner. They can have Turner's a bonus for Towns tomorrow.
They can have anything. They can have any first they want. Not like the package obviously has to make sense, but like they can have anything.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know the offer Wiggins. I think Wiggins it could even they sniff at next summer. Example of Wiggins, because I'm not sure how they dump Wiggins on anybody. I mean, there a lot of teams their teams right now. I mean, it'd have to be like the Hawks or somebody like really bad.
Just absurd how much he's making to not be as, like, he's not worth that money. He's just not.
But I could definitely see in 2020, if let's say Butler says, I'll give it one more year with Wiggins. If it doesn't work this year, you trade him and I'll resign kind of thing. They resign Butler with the intention to trade Wiggins and they miss it on their free agents, the Pacers do. I could see him sniffing Wiggins out next summer though.
Yeah, I mean, if they're willing to dump him, if he shows some improvements, there's a lot of like ways that Wiggins is. I think actually, I'd go with like under 20% chance Wiggins finishes this contract in Minnesota.
I just don't know where he can get traded. That's the problem.
I know it's very hard. It's
that's
very
why I'm
hard.
Saying next summer they'll have a cap space. Maybe they can get something like another asset along with Wiggins in terms of a pick or something like that as a dump, because basically what happened cap space is Zor Ball is hit or whatever like that. I could see that happening. That's where I kind of see that happening, and that might be worth it at that time, especially because. I mean, I guess you'll be kind of in a luxury tax then, right? If you resign Miles to a max deal. So that kind of depends where that ends up. But if Miles ends up not having a great year or something like that, there's a way where they end up with Wiggins and you can justify it because they don't really have anybody worth the max number.
And maybe he just becomes even neutral value. Just like we have this absurd amount of cap space. Just give us Wiggins. That's it.
And Wiggins is like a pick and it's worth it. Right. You can use the pick to get somebody or whatever. Because he does have value. I mean, if Wiggins made 15 a year, he'd probably be traded tomorrow.
Yeah, he's like an okay player. He's just not worth what he's paid.
Yeah, if he was making the Ryan Anderson money, he probably could get traded too. I mean, yes. $18 to $20 a year. I mean, he's valuable at that rate. It's just at 25, scaling up to 33, he's just not.
Yeah, and I think when the free throws start dropping again, you know, he was good at them for 3 years and did not go well for him last year. You know, the true shooting percentage will get up right about to league average. Like, he's okay efficiency. I think that's overblown. You know, if he can get okay on DI, I would like him to. But anyway.
I just really can't believe Minnesota gave him this contract. They had no need to, no incentive to. He hadn't really shown any. Like, he'd shown that he's worth some money, but not this contract. And they should have made him go get a deal for somebody else and matched it.
Right. I just can't believe they did this. I know. I always think that with guys like him who are more potential than player.
Well, it's kind of like the Devin Booker deal.
Like a certain center on the Pacers.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the Devin Booker deal. With the word, yes, Booker might be worth it next year, but you don't know yet for sure, and you just gave him a huge deal. You don't have to. You don't have any incentive to yet. And that's why the Pacers
way more likely Booker gets worth it than Wiggins, but yes, the comparison is good.
It's the same kind of thing, though. I mean, Wiggins, after year three, maybe year two, at least you say worth it. I don't know, year three, kind of struggled again. But like, that's why the Pacers probably waited on Turner, because they're either lowballing him, like, we'll tie him to a cheap deal, or wait a year, and if you really prove yourself, we'll give you the 5-year max if you're worth it. Like, we want to give it to you. We just want you to prove it you're worth it, kind of thing.
Exactly. And we should talk about Turner's extension some other time. They have till the day before the season or 2 days before the season to offer it for him. But yeah, you know, then this Wiggins deal could be part of Butler's frustrations. Like, you can improve because you're paying this guy and Gorgui Dieng over $40 million. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And they gave Wiggins this deal before the day before last season, right? Almost around that time. So it just didn't make any sense. It was almost like a way to commit to Butler, right? But it wasn't really commit to Butler at the same time.
Yeah, and they offered Butler that. You know, I wonder if Butler was insulted they even offered him that crappy extension, like, that he obviously wouldn't take, you know.
Well, I think they wanted to just make it. What he probably mattered is that they had leaked. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think you make the offer to say, hey, we want to sign. I mean, you can't sign a guy to a max right now because the stupid NBA rules. They, like, it almost want you to be a free agent kind of thing. But I think he's more pissed it got leaked, because it makes it look like he's turning down a lot of money when he's really not. I mean, his potential is, like, what, 4 year?
No, he's
4 year, like, 130.
Yeah.
Right, he should make $30 million a year or something close to that.
And he's bet on himself before, and it worked. So why would he not do it again? You know.
Well, and 110 is lower than what PG got, and he's better than PG. He should get that max that PG got, and it'll be more because there'll be a higher cap next year.
Right, you're absolutely right. So. You are absolutely right.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I don't think Jimmy Butler would get traded until deadline time. So a lot of speculation now.
And but I think at that time you can get him cheap.
Just get him on that rental. Time the value's lower, and if the Pacers know they have a chance, I think they'd go for that.
Yeah, I think they would. I think they would trade any non-Sabonis Turner Vic asset for that.
I think even Sabonis at that deadline, if it happened.
I don't know. Sabonis is playing really well. I think they want to trade anybody who won't be in the rotation. I think it's Aaron Holiday to be the most sense, actually.
That would make a lot of sense.
Because if the guy's not in the rotation, who maybe you think could be good, but you think you can win, make the NBA Finals. But then again, you might not even do that because you probably can't win the championship this year, barring, you know, Steph tearing ACL and one of Klay Thompson or KD getting hurt as well.
Right. But yeah, it's hard to say.
Go ahead.
No, I got nothing.
Okay, yeah, it's hard to say. You're right. I mean, the Wiggins deal, I just can't believe they gave him this contract. I mean, I was still baffled by it last time. I just feel like it reminds me of Booker so much, and it's kind of, I think that's something to kind of bite them in the butt. And it's good to see the Pacers aren't kind of like jumping on that train immediately with Turner, hopefully.
I know, you know what? I don't know what they'll ultimately do, but I hope that they look to something like that at some point, if it's the right offer. You know, I think that would be the move to take them to the next level.
Yeah, and I think with Turner, I mean, they're not going to sign him soon because they would have signed him already if they wanted to. Like, they're not going to this last minute offer him a big deal. It seems like, unless, barring some owner intervention, because it happened in Minnesota, the owner intervened, I think, and Herb Simon's not going to spend
that
kind of money.
I think the only way that an extension happens between those two parties before the season is Turner, like, accepting a great deal for the Pacers.
Would you be skeptical of him doing that? Because, like, why is he doing that this soon? Like, is he hurt? What's going on? Like, Turner clearly is working himself to bet on himself this year in the same kind of sense Butler did. He's been working his ass off to get better.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
That's all
I have anything else for today. Yeah, me too. Very good. Okay, so keep an eye on the Jimmy Butler stuff. If you, I don't know when you're listening, but it could already be out today. And also keep out on the international stuff. We'll be all on top of that. What position are we doing this week? I forget.
I think we're doing small forwards. I'm going to mix it up and go do.
Look at my pictures in my phone.
I got a small forward week, and you're going to do your favorite guy.
You are correct. Bojan week coming in hot. Hot, hot, hot. And Dougie McBurgets. I don't know what just happened.
Dougie McBuckets, what you
Dougie
meant.
I tried Buckets. To say McDermott and McBuckets at the same time.
Dougie McBuckets is his name, I believe.
McBurgets. Yes, we'll be this week always fun. I have not decided on my guest yet, but we will see. It'll be a good time.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna reach out to somebody, but who's another Locked On host who I've done a podcast with. So
oh yeah,
we can do it. We'll see if he can do it. I haven't reached out. I kind of been lazy. Forgot to reach out last week, so I'll send him a text tonight. We'll see that.
He was good. That's a good choice.
Yeah, when he was a Locked On host for a team that McDermott played for last year for most of the year.
All right, that'll be great. But that's all we have for today. Enjoy your week. Pacers basketball back so soon. And we'll talk to you guys later.